What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative. Today we're with Emily Hollingshed, a singer and songwriter out of Oklahoma. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So Emily and I met very briefly at Calf Fry this past, it's been like 2 weeks already now. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let's talk about Calf Fry, because if I'm not mistaken, you are from Oklahoma, and I'm sure Calf Fry had to have had some impact on you like throughout your career. So if it has, like, do you have any Calf Fry stories or what it means to you or anything like that?
So the first time I played Calf Fry, the first time I went to Calf Fry, I actually got to play it. We ended up placing second place in Battle of Bands. And Fry was like our fifth or sixth show as a band. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I've loved it ever since.
What year was that?
That was last year, so 24.
Okay, right on. Yeah, it was a fun time. I used to live in Stillwater, so it was kind of cool to get back there and out of everything to do there, go to Calf Fry. So
I know it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So I guess just to back up a bit, just so people get to know you a bit, can you tell us a bit how you got started with music, or like what really made you want to do this whole thing?
So I've always kind of been like into music. I led worship at church in our youth group, and then I went to the big stage. And then my grandpa, we always sat in like picking circles growing up. So I kind of just learned. I really learned by ear. So I've never really like tried to take lessons. I can't learn from anybody else. But mm-hmm. I've just always done it. I've picked up a guitar at like 11, and then really didn't get decent until like last year, the year before, really this year. But we're learning.
Yeah. Well, what made you want to start like diving into songwriting and that aspect of it?
I've always like tried to write songs, and I don't know. I did some bedroom recordings at my house and then at a buddy's house and put some out like 23, and just kind of seen how people liked them, and they really liked them. So I mean, looking back, it was not my finest work, so I took it down, but we put out an album last year, so.
Yeah. And I gave that a listen today. I guess, was there like a theme behind that album at all? Or was it kind of how you were saying, just some like tapes you threw together? Really, did you just wanted to get something out? Or was there a way you approached that?
No, I mean, no way, really. My music's bipolar, we like to say in my band. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm like red dirt, alternative, like rock, like just a little bit of everything. But in reality, those were just kind of the songs that we were playing, and we were ready to get some stuff out. So,
yeah. Right on. Yeah. So you, I guess the personnel on the, who was your band, right? Everyone else on the record. Mm-hmm. So how'd you guys all meet? How'd you get them all together?
Oh, Lord. Well, I started, I played this little bar, and it's kind of where I started gigging, per se. And I was doing this open mic, and these two guys came up to me after an open mic, and they were like, and I was 16, 17 at the time, but they were like, hey, if you ever want to start a band, like, we'd love to play. We play guitar. One of them was a guy named Ian, and one of them is my current guitar player, Nick, and also my best friend. And so fast forward, I got a call from somebody I went to schools with, mom, who said they know somebody. Well, everybody knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got hooked up with this guy named Philip, and turns out Philip's been in this scene for a long time. He's played for some ginormous names, and he kind of has been the push factor for me, and has really led me in the right directions. And really, all of us as a band have made all the decisions. But we got so me and Philip started working together, kind of, and then we were like, let's look for a guitar player. Well, Nick Sharp's name kept coming up, and so it came up from like three different sides, and I was like, well, that's just meant to be. My dad's my bass player, so
awesome.
But it's crazy. We are very lucky, because we've had fill-ins and stuff, but we've never switched out a band member, and you don't get that a lot. Very fortunate.
Right, that's awesome. So in the Oklahoma, I guess, red dirt, whatever scene that you guys, I guess, have came up in, would it be fair to say that that had a large influence on the kind of music you play? I know, listening to your stuff, there is alternative elements. There's even some like rock, like it has some edge to it.
Yeah.
And but would you say that like the red dirt is really what kind of kicked it off for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, I mean, everybody around the area, when I I'm still coming up, whatever you want to call it, but whenever I first kind of started, it was a lot of the red dirt people, and Yeah, I mean, my roots go like back to outlaw country and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say Red Dirt's a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool. I say it on here all the time, like Red Dirt and, of course, the Texas scene. It's like, it's really hard to put like a label on what it sounds like nowadays, which is cool when we have artists like you and going to, you know, you got guys like Co, you got Southall, all these guys who just guys and gals who play like some like rock music, grunge music, country music. It's really cool to see kind of how that all gets tied together to those scenes. And I guess with your sound, and you kind of hit on it earlier, how would you describe your sound, and what, if you had to put some kind of label on it, which labels do not matter anymore, in my opinion, but if you had to put it in some kind of box, like how would you describe it?
Oh man. I don't know. Here lately, I've been more on the rock side, but I'm really just in the seasons of life. It just changes.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's bipolar, so I'm kind of all over the place as a person. So I don't know. I don't really know what I'd call it. Just me, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think the best thing for like when you talk about like an artist's music, if you can't really put it in a box, I think you're doing something right. Like, it's just like, if you hear a song by so-and-so just saying, oh yeah, that's Emily's music. It's like, okay, well that's a kind of a good path to go down, I think.
That's what my drummer has always said, that I he says that I don't sound like anybody, or I have like a different style. So I like that.
Yeah. It does stand out. Like that's very true. And, I haven't seen a live show from you guys. How would you describe your live show? I think that's like my favorite question to ask people is like, we all as fans get to watch it from like, you know, an audience point of view, but how would you describe your live show?
Oh man, it's just one big adrenaline rush. So we played an after party for Boys from Oklahoma. Tanner Ussery and Trenton Fletcher were playing that night. So we opened for them. And it
that's a party right there.
Oh my gosh. I was scared that we weren't going to have a crowd, and everybody showed up. I mean, they showed up and showed out. And honestly, after that show, we huddled up as a group after, and Nick goes, how do you feel? And I said, I'm going to need drugs after tonight, because I don't think I'm going to get that high for a while.
Right. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was just a freaking, I wouldn't even say like a party. It's just an adrenaline rush. You just can't explain it unless you've been there.
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy event that could have been. Was that at the after party? Was that at the Tumbleweed?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jeez Louise. It was insane. That was crazy. But were you able to go to the Boys from Oklahoma, like, show any of the nights?
I was.
All right, I got to hear about it. So, like, what was your favorite parts, everything? How'd you feel about it?
I'm not going to lie. I definitely cried.
I don't blame you.
I don't mind. I don't remember who was playing when I did, but it was just one of those moments. Like, this is insane. Like, they're playing four nights, like, sold out. Oklahoman. Like, that's just wild.
Yeah.
It's really cool to, like, see everybody come together for that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And, like, that alone, and also, like, with all those, like, other stages they had set up, like, seeing all these, like you guys, like, you mentioned Trenton and, like, many others, it was like a Woodstock for like Red Dirt.
It was insane. It was so cool. I loved it.
They would be crazy not to do something like that again. Maybe not the exact same lineup if they, you know, I don't know if Ragweed's going to stick around, but like if
hopefully.
They, just the money they generated is fucking nuts. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, put crazy. Me in, coach.
Yeah, for real. Put her on the main stage. But, Yeah. Anyway, I also, when I was like doing a bit of research on you, did you set up your own event called Homegrown?
I did.
Can you tell me about that? Because I'm kind of curious about what that whole thing is.
So it was like I want to say one time thing, but honestly, I would love to do it again. But so I had a show booked, and I got this random call on my birthday, and this little old lady was trying to figure out when this band was playing, and I was like, telling her, like, that's the day we're playing. She was like, no, it says this. So I went and looked it up. And this little old lady that called my number on accident basically, you know, helped me figure out that the menu double booked us. So I was like, well, crap. Well, we haven't played that many shows, and I really want to play a show. I was like, why not do a hometown show? So I had about a month to plan everything. It was ridiculous. But the people that I worked with, you know, they're family friends, and they own a wedding venue called the Red Baron Ranch. And so I hit her up, and I was like, hey, like, would you be interested? She was like, come on. So we had a month to set it up. I got, like, I did online tickets. We had, like, concessions and stuff. This time around, if we do it again, I know kind of what I'm doing, but I'm also letting her do it, because I drove, like, probably 100 freaking fence posts in the ground the day before, and I was dead the next day. But we ended up having about 350 people come out, so it was kind of crazy for a little shindig that was thrown together. But it was a blast. Everybody brought their lawn chair out, and I had a lot of buddies coming open, and it's just really cool to see all the support from my hometown.
That's awesome. So it went pretty smoothly then for like a first time thing.
Yeah, I would definitely say it went smoother than, well, it was kind of a shit show, but
oh yeah, well that's on brand. That's
you
all
get
right.
That you get that on the big jobs, I guess.
That's right. But I was also wondering about, have you had that oh shit moment? You could call it, like, you mentioned the Boys from Oklahoma thing. Like, was there ever a moment where you were like, I can't believe, like, I'm here right now doing whatever this is? Like, anything that comes to mind?
That was a huge moment for me. Mm-hmm. Calf Fry was too, but I definitely, like, since then I've worked my ass off to get where I am, and finding out we're playing Born and Raised this year is insane, because nice. Last year, little side story, I had the chance to be VIP, and my guitar player just had GA, but they let him come in with me, so we were sitting in seat B19. Well, then there's a whole nother story to my side story, but I won't get into that. But we ended up going to a campground about 5 a.m. and we tattooed, I don't know if you can see that, but it says B19. Yeah. So he did that one, and I did his for awesome. When we ever played Born and Raised. And so we literally got an hour of sleep and spent like 12 hours in studio the next day, but it was bad. But so come to find out, we got these tattoos kind of not like a big manifester, but just kind of looking ahead and find out the next year we're playing. So pretty freaking badass if you ask me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow, Born and Raised, huh? That's that's a pretty big one. Like, because that's the same place they have Rocklahoma, right? Like, this literally the same field.
Yeah, it's so. The same setup, same grounds.
Hell yeah. Well, congratulations. That's going to be fun.
Thank you.
But, awesome. And before we get into, like, what you have coming up with music and or anything, I'm curious with these new artists, and any artist, really. I was talking to Mickey from Mickey and Motorcars about the same exact thing. He's been around forever. But the social media aspect of the music industry is kind of a bitch.
Yeah. Like,
I'm kind of curious, because everybody's answer is different. I'm kind of curious how you and your crew, your band, you know, navigate that, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, whatever it is.
You know, I try my hardest. I get on really good spurts of posting stuff, and then I'm like, okay, and then I give up. But I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm not too, which I make decent money for somebody who just goes out and does gigs and some bigger shows, but I know so many people that they still have a job and stuff, so they spend like their extra money on whatever, but I just went full force ahead and just did it on music. But I just can't bring myself to pay what other people pay for content, because I can do crappy videos myself, so.
Right.
I don't know. I've been making some pretty feral ones lately.
That's awesome.
Man, I'm trying.
Yeah, it's like some people are good at like the skits and all that stuff, but some people, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's untapped for me. I couldn't even begin to, you know, understand that shit.
Literally. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
But, well, now that you mentioned it, like, because this is your full-time gig, right? Mm-hmm. Taking that first step always sounds so scary to me. Like, when it comes to, whenever I hear about artists doing that, whether it's moving to Nashville or, you know, jumping off that ledge to just go full force into music, how was that first step for you? How did you take that on?
So graduated high school and I started working at a hospital as a CNA. And I had a good time, but I did little shows here and there. And I took my parents outside by the pool and I was like, I think I'm going to quit my job. And they were like, okay. They were very supportive the whole way, but I just kind of did it knowing that I have amazing parents. And if anything, you know, happened, I have them to fall back on, which luckily I have not had to, but I just I ripped the Band-Aid off. I just did it. It was terrifying. I mean, honestly, it wasn't terrifying at the moment, but looking back, I don't know who quits their job to go freaking, you know, do what I did, which a lot of people do it and it's amazing. But also I could not be more blessed and thankful to live where I live because Tulsa music scene, which I'm just now really getting into, is a huge support system, and just Oklahoma in general is just insane. Like I've met some of the best people through it. So
yeah. And yeah, well, the music scene in Tulsa, I lived there for a while too, and it is insane. Like it's ridiculous. So tight. There's venues everywhere. It's really crazy. But but yeah, about like ripping the Band-Aid off and just like going right for it. I guess it's probably good at that time you didn't have like the frame of mind to like really worry about.
Young and dumb, 19 years old.
But I'm glad it's working though, and having a good support system with your parents and everything, like, you know, that's clutch. So that's awesome.
For sure.
Awesome to hear it's working out for you. But let's talk a bit about any upcoming music, anything you got coming down the pipe we could be looking forward to.
I'm going to have a single coming out this summer. I'm not sure when. We haven't even recorded it yet. But I'm excited about that one. And then should be dropping a couple others this year. And we got some shows coming up too. But I don't know.
All right. Well, what about some shows? Like, what are we looking at with that?
Next week, we're opening for Jason Bolin in Caney, Kansas. And then June 21st, we're in Plano with Logan Ryan. And then June 28th, the next weekend, we're playing in Nebraska at the Country Drive Music Fest. And I think Treaty Oaks headlining the night that we're playing. So,
of course they are.
Of course. I love them boys.
Oh, yeah. They're great. I don't know if this question is going to make any sense, but I'm going to try. When it comes to creating music, and once you, like, let's take your last album, for instance, when you dropped that, was there a conscious thought to like, okay, what can I do next? Like, where you to try? Okay, well, yeah, we'll just go for that then. Like, what is your like way to progress, like in your method on doing that?
Well, when I did my album, it was very focused on the album. I mean, day and night, just getting everything put up and getting everything organized. And so I got kind of caught up with that I didn't plan my next steps. So I'm kind of upset that I did that because we gained some traction and then, you know, we didn't. It's like a whole procedure you have to go through, algorithm or whatever, just like anything else. But this time around, we're gonna be doing pretty steady. And but I mean, we go to record a song and it's like, I don't really get writer's block, but I just have to put time out for my writing. Like today, I watched my nephew and I wrote two songs.
Right.
And it's just the weirdest thing how they come about, because some people have to like sit in the dark and light a candle, and which sometimes I do have to do that. But I don't know. It's just I don't know.
So So basically, you just you want it to be more natural, other than like forcing yourself to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because like, I'll just sit down with it and figure it out.
Wait for it to come to you. It's that's so nuts to me. Because like the way people describe their, whether it's just, I guess, their writing method, it's just like, I was driving down the road and all of a sudden a song came and ends up being their like best song they've written. It's like, all right.
My mom got me one of those like voice recorder things that you just click a button. So I've been going down the road and like singing a part of a song or something.
That's so sick.
I mean, it's like deep in my center console though, so it's pretty
you
cool
dig
though.
For it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to drive.
Damn it, I forgot.
Like easier to go on my phone and just hit record.
For real. Oh, that's awesome. So how about any is there any artists, I guess, like in the Oklahoma scene, or anyone that you work with sometimes that you would like to collab or write with, or do you co-write at all, or like what's your approach to that?
I don't really co-write. I I did stay up with my buddy. He's not from Oklahoma, but his name's Stone Mendez, and he helped me write that song Oklahoma Weather that I have out.
Mm-hmm.
Little bits and pieces, which I had it wrote, and then I totally just ripped it apart and started over. But there is a girl named Krislyn Arthurs that I would love to work with, and we're supposed to be working together pretty soon. I say supposed to. Neither of us have a good schedule, so we're like just going by the seat of our pants, but I love her to death, and she's freaking phenomenal person, songwriter, singer, everything. So my drummer actually drums with her before me. So I,
nice.
Crazy.
Yeah,
small world.
It is. Krislyn's great. She broke her thumb
or
whatever. She was on like playing the tambourine.
Oh my gosh!
Like,
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah,
she broke her fucking thumb.
Yeah, she was up there with Taylor, and then the next day she's like, "My thumb's bruised." She actually broke it.
Yeah, I think she said it's broken.
That's horrible.
She's like, it's not very rock and roll. I'm like, that's probably the most rock and roll thing you could do.
It's not very rock and roll.
Breaking a bone on an instrument is probably the most rock and roll thing.
You had to be going hard for that tambourine to break a thumb.
Holy shit.
Hey, but, she puts her all into it, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. She does. She does. That's great, though. But what about any shows, like any bucket list venues, anything you really want to accomplish like in your lifetime? That's kind of a very broad question, but.
Well, you know. I would love to headline, technically not hometown, but it is for me, but I'd love to headline Be Okay. But just like, honestly, like I don't care to be ginormous. I mean, I love what I do. I'm living my dream as it, you know, as we speak. I'm playing around, traveling the country and doing what I love, but I'd love to play Red Rocks. That'd be a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's just kind of anywhere that'll have me, I guess.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, thanks for hopping on, Emily. This was great. Thanks for doing this. It's good talking to you and following up with you from Calf Fry. Real quick before we hop off, just because you mentioned it earlier, any new songs or plugs, anything like that, just so people could keep an eye out for it?
Can't really give out the name yet, but my Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever you want to follow me on is Emily Hollingshed Music. And then I'm on all platforms as Emily Hollingshed.
Hell yeah. Well, again, thanks for hopping on. And you guys make sure also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us will pop up. And make sure to find Emily out there too. So, and go see a damn show. I know
Come
I
on.
Need to.
Come
so,
on.
So, hell yeah.
Thank you
so,
for having me.
Absolutely, anytime. So thank you, Emily, and thanks everyone else for listening. We'll see ya. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self.